ನಮಾವೋಂ ಶಿವಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂದರೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೀಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣೇ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ So, yesterday we were discussing this verse, very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Na sade vidyade abhavo, na abhavo vidyade sada, ubhayor abhidrishtvandam stanayor tatvadarshibhi. So, there we have seen that these two things, sat and asat. Why this verse is so important is this, that sadbhavam, asadbhavam, if this is not clear in our mind or in our thinking, in our vision, then discrimination is not possible in this world. Discrimination comes from, this is what the Vedantis call is discrimination. Discrimination means seeing the sat and what is asat, sat and asat. So, we were talking about these examples, that everything in this world, if you look, you will see from the sun planet, moon planet, and all other things, right through the creation you can see this changing nature. Everything is constantly changing, right up to the smallest worm, amoeba. Even there, the change is happening all the time. So, change is the nature of the asat. That is the first thing. And sat and asat, the difference is sat doesn't change. Sat is eternal. So if this is firmly established inside, then you can see this world with that understanding, and you will see that everything in this creation is asat. Everything is asat. The only thing that is sat in this world is consciousness, bodham, or the existence of me, I am, isn't it? It is that which is in relation, connection with Krishna, which is Brahman, that is keeping this whole asat going. Asat has come into existence sometime during the process of creation, and at some point it stays for some time, and at some point it all gets destroyed. So sat begins, asat develops, it ends up in sat again. So the only thing that is reality is the sat. Asat is not real. Asat is the something that has happened in between, isn't it? So that example, there are so many examples given for that. We talked about the first example, just to give a comparison, that the earth or clay, you have turned it into a pot. Then you have destroyed the pot and it has become clay again. When it took the form of a pot, it has been given a name, a particular name and a form, a shape you have given to it. So, namam and rupam, in other words, the name and the form is in between. It's not in the beginning, it's not at the end. The name and the form is in between, in these two states of existence. When it was originally existed in the form of clay you have shaped it through from your consciousness, some ideas developed, and it has formed into this pattern of a particular pot or something, and later on if you break the pot, it goes back into clay again. So namarupam is, or the name and the form is in relationship with asat, isn't it? Asat is that, what is it? It has got a name and a form. So name and form is that thing which we focus our attention on all the time. If you observe in our own life, you will see our attention is on the name and the form. That Jnani's attention is not on the name and form, but it is on the Sat. Name and form is all the aspects of the Asat. Our attention is on the Asat. Their attention is on the Sat. Just like the clay, when you have taken the form of the pot, At that time, it has got a name, it has got a form. You don't see it as a clay anymore. You are seeing it as a pot, or you are seeing it as a particular form, whatever it has taken. So, this asat form, or the asat, is existing in different names and forms in this world. That is the first thing to understand. So, it says here that the Namarupam, Prabhancha means this whole creation, is asat because of that. Because of this name and form that is given to us. The only thing that in reality existing is the sat. Is the sat. The sat and asat, we have to become very conscious of that. Why? Take for example, you have made a particular form, say an elephant out of wood. You made an elephant out of a wood, a first class, say, teak wood or rose wood. You made a first class elephant. And a child saw that, and child immediately jumped onto the elephant and started playing with the elephant. Now at that point, the child is thinking only of elephant. Child is only thinking in terms of the elephant form, and for him, it is an elephant. And he calls it as an elephant, and he plays with it as though it's an elephant, isn't it? Say a timber merchant came there. He looked at that, and he immediately scratched with his hand or with the blade or something, and he started checking what wood is it, isn't it? He sees the wood, and he realizes that it is teak wood or rose wood or whatever good quality wood it has been made of, and he is looking at it from his angle. He is not seeing the elephant. For him, it is wood. It's not the elephant. The elephant is a form he knows. It's been given to the wood. Because his mind is looking through the wood, he's only valuing it. How much value has it got? The wood has got. Or quality of the wood, or whatever it is. So, you can see that the child saw it in a particular name and form. The businessman, the teak wood businessman, saw that in the form of wood, and he valued it in another way. For him, only wood exists, not the elephant. For the child, elephant exists, not the wood. So, name and form is something we have to be very conscious of, very much conscious of. Why? Because, so for example, a nice first-class, big, huge mahogany wood or any tree stands there, and as soon as you see it, you will start thinking, oh, if I cut this wood, I could make so many nice furniture or use it for some other good purpose. So as soon as you see an object, what normally happens is within our mind, some vigaram develop, or in some kind of thoughts develop centered around that object, isn't it? So namam and rupam creates these emotions inside, in us. And this is a very subtle thing. On a subtle level, you can understand this, that everything when you contact, for example, when we relate with the world, ragam and dvesham develops. I mentioned this before, isn't it? Attachment and aversion. From how does it develop? It's not on a gross level, or not necessarily all the time. It can happen in a very subtle level. Just like any object you see in this world, say for example, you see a house, immediately in your mind the thoughts go through. Oh, what kind of house is that? How many bedrooms has it got? How much could it value the house, the value of the house? What facilities the house has got? What's the location? Something you start imposing on that particular object. Same thing, if someone who sees a car, a modern car, an expensive car, he will start looking at the features of the car, isn't it? What is the specialities with this car? In other words, these things, from the object, it creates a thoughts inside, in us. And from there, attachment and aversion builds up. So you can see, on a subtle level, every object in this world creates some feelings inside, either good or bad, depending on the object what you have come into contact with. So Krishna is saying here that the sadbhavam and asadbhavam is important. Why? Because if you are constantly looking through the asat, because everything what we are seeing and judging materials in this world is through asat. It is the name and form that is captivating us, isn't it? That is captivating us. So, jnanis are those people who who from the very beginning, they discard this asat part. In other words, they don't allow that to develop some thoughts inside. They see the sadbhavam in there. What is the sadbhavam? Sadbhavam is this, that as you know, that the whole creation has come from that soul, consciousness. We talked about consciousness. That consciousness is the sat. That is the only sat in this. All these things. Everything else is asat. Everything else is asat. So if we constantly get attached to asat, the sat will not develop inside. Sat will not develop inside. That is why the Vedantis are deadly against getting involved in materialistic nature. Material nature and jadam. Jadam means, jada padartha means dead matter. Those who are experimenting with dead matter, like the scientists and all that, eventually their identification with the dead matter becomes stronger. Because that's all what they know. The sadbhavam they never developed inside. Spiritually advanced people, they reject the asadbhavam and develop the sadbhavam inside. Yeah, that means because from sat everything has come, not from asat. Asat has come from sat, but asat is not permanent. Asat is temporary. Asat has got name and form, and name and form will create the ragam, attachment, aversion inside. So the more we reject the asat aspect of it and we come closer to the sat aspect, our spiritual understanding develops strongly inside. This is why Krishna is saying this. Asad bhavam and sad bhavam. Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. With those two lines, Krishna is pointing out to us, just as Krishna spoke about the presence of the soul in the body and importance of the soul, now Krishna is coming to this distinction between soul and the body, or distinction between spirit and matter. Spirit, he says, is sat. Matter is asat. So, the more the association with matter, what will happen to us is, our consciousness will also become materialistic. We will not. The truth is sat. That's why it's called sat. The false thing is the asat. And if we capture asat closely with us and hold on to asat all the time, the asat consciousness will develop inside. That is the point Krishna is making there. Then, at this moment in time, the sat, asat, everything is mixed up. And in this mixed state, we are confused about it, and we are trying, most of the time, we accept asat as the truth. So, Krishna is saying here, that you will see this in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, if you carefully observe this, that when you are seeing asat, you won't see the sat. When you see the sat, you won't see the asat. That is how it is. Two things cannot exist at the same time, inside us. This is the Vedanta philosophy, it's like this, that when you see asat, you won't see the sat. And when you see the sat, you won't see the asat. All those who are materially absorbed, they are always seeing the asat. Those who are spiritually absorbed, jnanis and the realized souls, their attention is always on the sat. They will not give their attention to the asat. If you put your attention on the asat, you won't make any progress on the spiritual side. On the realization state. So, this is what we call it as conditioning. When we say conditioning, this is what it is. Condition is nothing but this capturing on to the asad strongly. That is conditioning. And that is what we have to loosen. Loosen it up, right? So, nama rupam is the cause of this. Namam and rupam. So, according to Vedanta philosophy, there is only reality is Chaitanyam, the living force behind it, isn't it? The Brahmam, the living force. That's the only reality. Everything else is false. Even the scientists will say that they make it much simpler by saying that there is protons, electrons, neutrons and all kinds of things, tons, they keep on talking about. But Vedantam is concerned, even that they don't exist. For Vedantis, what exists is only consciousness. Only consciousness, that bhodam, which is prajna, prajnanam brahma. That consciousness, it is from there all these things have come out. And these things have only a very, very temporary existence in relationship with the permanent thing, what is consciousness, which is the soul. the soul, what is existing. So, in the Bhagavadam, how does this comes out? When Sukadeva Goswami started discussing the different planets in the fifth canto, if you look at it, you will see carefully there, he discussed the different planetary systems, and in the very end, he had to speak about the hellish planets, isn't it? He spoke about the hellish planets. Now, Parikshit Maharaj was hearing about these hellish planets, and he was thinking about this and worrying about hellish planets. Will I go to any of these planets? He was constantly worrying about that. So, at that point, Vedavyasa Maharshi, through Sukadeva Goswami, says there that this whole creation, whether it is heavenly planets, hellish planets, or whatever it is, it's all Krishna. At the end, it is Krishna. If you look at the Bhagavadam, you will see the verses there, how it is, how they have put it through that. The only reason why Sukadeva Goswami had to say that was that everything, whether it is heavenly planets or hellish planets, it's all Asat. It's all Asat. It is all Vishnu's body, Sukadeva Goswami says there. So by saying this, even hellish planets is rejected. Like the heavenly planets, people think that heavenly planets I'll go and I'll enjoy there, and hellish planets I don't want to go. Krishna's point is, both these heavenly planets and hellish planets, they are all at the end Asat. They are both equally Asat. Neither of them have any permanent existence. But you should see the reality behind it, which is Krishna. That is the Sat. That is behind. So saying like this, Parikshit got a big relief that when he heard that, because he was thinking, either I'll go to heavenly planets or I'll go to hellish planets. This is how his mind was oscillating between heaven and hell. But when Sukadeva Goswami mentioned this to him, that Parikshit, even this heavenly planets also is coming from, is Vishnu. You will see that in the fifth canto at the end, the last verses. I'll just read it out. When you go home, you can read through if you want and think about this to get this understanding that. Otherwise, there was no need to mention that there in the Bhagavadam. In the verse 38, the last chapter in the fifth canto, 26th chapter, it says here, Nivrti lakshana margam adaveva vyakhyadaha edavan eva andakosho es chadurdashadha puraneshu vigalpita upagiyade yattal bhagavato narayanasya sakshal mahapurushasya stavishtam rupam alpamaya gunamayam anuvarnidam adradaha padadi shranodi shravayadi sa upageyam bhagavata paramalpano agrahyamabhi shraddha bhakti vishuddha buddhiruveda. Then it says here, Pravarti Margam and Nivrti Margam. Pravarti Margam is this. What is this? Recognizing through all these planets and the travel through them. Nivrti Margam, I have spoken before, he says. This Brahmandam, this whole universe, is what is discussed in Puranam as the 14 planetary systems. In the Puranas, it is discussed as higher planetary system, middle planetary system, lower planetary system, 14 worlds, isn't it? Which you know what they are, don't you? The 14 planetary systems. Martilogam is in the middle, the earthly planet. And on the top we have Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tapologam, Satyalogam on the top. And at the bottom, Atalam, Vitalam, Sudalam, Taladalam, Rasadalam, Padalam at the bottom. Altogether 14 planetary systems. That this whole creation is nothing but the gross body of Krishna, including the hellish planets. It's the gross body of Krishna. But then he says here, whoever hears about that and studies about that, he will get purified and he will understand Krishna's subtle form. This is the gross form. So attention should be taken to the subtle form of Krishna, not to this gross manifestation. But if you focus on the gross form, eventually your attention will get diverted into the subtle form of Krishna, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And our mind will go away from this and will start seeing the Sat reality. And fear for the hellish planets will go. Strutva stulam tatha soshmam rupam bhagavato yati stule nirjanam almanam shanai soshmam diya nayedidi. He says here, one who is performing sadhana, or the devotee, he should hear about the gross and the subtle side of the truth. And First, the mind will get attracted to the gross side. That means the gross existence of the Supreme Lord. But little by little, through intelligence, he should take his attention from the gross to the subtle side, to the sushma. Buddhi bavarsha saridadri nafas samudram padaladhing naragabhagana loka samstam gidamaya tavanrupadbhudam ishwarasya stulam vapu sakala jivanikaya dhamam. My dear king, for all living entities, the shelter is Krishna's gross body. We take shelter of Krishna's gross body because we live in Krishna's gross body, isn't it? The earth, all the planets, and all the Ilavrata Varsham and other Varshams, all the rivers, mountains, the sky, the ocean, and all planetary systems, Padalam and others, all directions, hellish planets, and all the other stars, everything I have discussed here just to explain to you the gross body of Krishna. He says like that. He says that you should not get perturbed over this because hellish planets, Krishna's gross body. That's also Krishna. That's not different from Krishna. So if we start worrying that I will go to hellish planets, what Bhagavatam is telling us, heavenly planets and hellish planets is only the gross aspect of Krishna. Behind this, which is Krishna's sushma form, that is the consciousness that is present, that is where our attention should be moved to. That's the point Krishna is making. Then, why is it like that? Because sthulam is thing that which is always changing. Isn't it? Sthulam is changing. Sushmam, which is Krishna's and consciousness, never changes. It is permanent. It is in that consciousness all these things are happening. The gross has come from the subtle. The subtle didn't come from the gross. That's the point. That the gross manifestation of the creation has come from that subtle aspect of Krishna. So when changes happens, we must stick with the thing what is not changing. For example, because I am, that consciousness is not changing, I am observing all changes what's happening in the creation, isn't it? Suppose I am also changing, I won't be able to notice that, would I? The changes that is happening in the creation, for example, I'm always saying, oh, everything is changing. The countries are changing, the people are changing, the nature is changing. Everything is changing in this world. How I am able to say that? Because I am, my bodham or consciousness inside is the same. It's not changing. Consciousness doesn't change. My body is changing. Why I am able to say that? Because I am not changing. I am stable. Body is not stable. My mind is changing. I am not changing. I notice a change in my mind. What's happening in my own mind, isn't it? So, if the attention is shifted from the changing thing to the unchanging thing, that is the truth. The truth is always unchanging. It is the unchanging thing that is important for us, not the thing what is always changing. Because if you focus all your attention on the changing subject, then you will at the end find that you have wasted all your time. You will never come to the truth. Truth is not changing. Truth never changes. That's why Vedic philosophy insists that research, experiment and all that cannot bring you the truth. For this reason only. That if you keep on researching, that is why scientists are also changing all the time. Whatever knowledge that brings in today will change after a while. So another scientist comes and says something else. Isn't it? Because he found that that his experiments have shown that something else is the truth. So, because it is changing, they are holding on to asat. Krishna is saying it will always change. The truth will never change. Otherwise, it's not truth. If something is changing, it's not a truth, isn't it? It's understandable. So, Krishna is stressing that point very strongly here in this verse that our vision should not be contaminated or polluted with this thinking that asat is the truth. Asat is asat. Sat is the truth, which is only the consciousness. Everything else is false. That's the point Krishna is getting through. Adhishthanam. Adhishthanam means the basis on which everything else is happening is because of this. That because we are present there, our consciousness is the basis on from where all these perception of the things what is happening is coming, we have to take it that the concept consciousness which is inside is Sat, because that's a part of the Supreme Consciousness, Sat. Everything else inside us, the body, mind, intelligence, they are all Asat. They are all Asat. And not only that, not only the mind and body, everything that is in connection with the mind and body is also Asat. For example, for me, others are existing as long as I see their body, when I see their mind, or when I perceive their mind. So only when that's happening, that exists. But even if you go away from here, from this room, you may or may not exist for me, because my vision has changed, isn't it? I am not seeing you anymore. So I cannot say that you exist or not. Today I can say you are existing because I am seeing you. Same thing with me also. When you are seeing me, you can say I am existing. But once I have gone away from your vision, you may say, you can say that whether, I don't know whether he is existing or not. So that is all subjected to due to the Asat understanding, through the, seeing it as Asat. But the understanding from the Sat is, it is eternal, it always exists. That I can only say, guarantee, I can confirm that only in respect to my consciousness. That's the only thing, because at no point in time I can say that I'm not existing. Because if I say I'm not existing, there should be me who is saying that I'm not existing. So, there is no time at any point in our existence that I can say I'm not existing. Or in other words, consciousness is one thing that you can never take it away. It's always there. In this, that's why aham, 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 aham inside, that consciousness is always existing. That in the Gaudapada Acharya, in the Mandukya Karika, there is Mandukya Upanishad, he stressed this point very strongly. He says there that Adau Andeja Yat Nasti. That's the word he has used. Adau Andeja Yat Nasti. What is there in the beginning, that is there at the end also. Yeah, what is there in the beginning, that is at the end. In between, whatever that has happened, that is not truth. That's not truth. What exists in the beginning, that alone exists at the end. In between, all other changes have happened. Just like we have, as a soul consciousness, we have accepted a body, grew up, changed the body from boyhood, youth, or old age, this, and then eventually death. But still, I exist. So, body is sometimes in between, therefore body is Asat. Isn't it? Body is therefore Asat. So, if this understanding is very firm inside, then you can play your role in this world without getting concerned about anything. Nothing will worry you. Just like Krishna. Krishna has done exactly the same thing. Krishna came here, did a lot of mischief during boyhood, played with the gopis, had the rasa dance, and so many other things happened, and then went to Mathura and all the pastimes in Mathura, and then went to Dwaraka, and while in Dwaraka married 16,108 wives, a householder life unparalleled in the history, and then went to Mahabharata war in Kurukshetra for the Mahabharata war, and eliminated so many unwanted kings from this world. In all these things, he came, fought the battle, sang, danced, everything Krishna has done here. There's nothing what Krishna has not done here. But at the end of all that, Krishna is still smiling. Why? Because Krishna knows this is all Asat. That if that Asat is firm in your mind, you can play your part in this world much in a light-hearted way. It will not disturb you. That is why this discrimination with Sat and Asat is important for us. Why Bhagavad Gita is teaching us is not only for more than telling us to go back home, back to Godhead. It's also talking to us that even while in this world, you should develop this consciousness before leaving this body. So the separation between Sat and Asat, Krishna gives so much importance to it. That so many examples we can say, like I was mentioning yesterday, that the screen is there, the film is projected on that. Now, out of that, the film is coming and continuously playing it. If we take the, while going for the film, we know very well that it's only lasting for about 2-3 hours. And that's why we go and sit there and watch all that. And after the film is finished, we get up and walk out from there, isn't it? So at that time, we are very conscious that it's only a film. And everything in the film, which is asat, what's happening, is influencing us in some way or the other. So association with asat brings this. Association with the asat brings this. That sometimes people cry when they see something, sad thing happens, some other their best hero has got into some trouble, or he couldn't do what he wanted to do, or he got beaten by the villain. People feel, you know, sometimes in India you see it very strongly sometimes, because hero and villain is there in all the movies, isn't it? So when the hero and villain is fighting, the people, you can watch the people who are watching the movie. Instead of watching, they'll see the change. Is he going to get beaten? He's going to get beaten. The anxiety inside. If it is Amitabh Bachchan or anybody, they see the anxiety inside. Ultimately, he has to win. If he doesn't win, they feel terrible. Why? The identification with the asat. But if you understand that it's only a film, it's been created for your entertainment, and with that understanding, if you watch the movie, it won't disturb you so much, would it? Whereas once you identify with it, asat, what has happened? You get suffering because of that, for nothing. You have to suffer. So Krishna is, but this is happens with the film. Now, if you look at the screen is steady. Once the film is finished, screen is still there as it is, isn't it? Another film comes and plays on the same screen. So this consciousness behind us is the sat, on which all this asat is happening. So in the sat position, when we identify with the sat, asat will not disturb us. But we leave sat and identify with asat, we have to suffer. This is the principle behind it. So then Krishna also gives the example of Marumarichika. Marumarichika means that the mirage we were talking about, that in the desert, you see far away there is water. You go there thinking that there is water, but you keep on going, you don't see, get to the water. Water keeps going away from you. Ultimately, wherever you looked, you don't find any water. But when you come back to the base where you started, again when you look, there is water there still, isn't it? So Krishna says, all the asat is like that. You think that it is real, but actually it is not real. The real thing is only you. That is the consciousness inside. All other thing is unreal. That is the difference between sat and asat. This verse requires a lot of reflection. And the more you reflect on that, our grip on this temporary material world, a material attachment will also go away. When you see the truth, when you see the reality, automatically our attachment will also move away from that. Because that's not real. Why I should get attached to something which is not real? What makes us get attached to things? Because I think that this object is what is going to make me happy. But once you understand the object is only going to create distress, and it's not permanent in one way, one time or the other. And that's not only with material objects, even with other living entities. Even with other living entities. Jnani's vision is always like this. They are focused on this one point. They don't allow that to move away from their clarity in their vision, that they are always discriminating like this. That's why I was saying yesterday that mind is asat, body is asat, and all other living entities around us, like in the form of wife, children, husband, father, mother, brother, sister, all relations, that's all asat. That's all asat. Sat is only that consciousness inside. Everything else is asat. So, Krishna says that if you have this knowledge of sat and asat properly inside, you won't stick to anything. You won't stick to anything. If it is sufficient, if this knowledge is enough, that because if the knowledge is strong inside, then that sticking to anything will not happen inside. Sticking happens because something, some asat you have accepted as sat. And that is why this problem has developed in the first place. Now, the other thing is, asat is a pratiti. Remember, I'm mentioning this before. Pratiti and anubhavam. Anubhavam means what you are actually soul is experiencing. In other words, soul, whatever the, spiritually what you are, the consciousness I am experiencing, the consciousness, that is anubhavam, that is in my experience. I am all the time conscious of that. All other objects what I am seeing is pratiti. Pratiti means perception. You are perceiving something is there, but I am not experiencing that. There is a difference there too. In my soul, I am not experiencing that person. Another person, I am seeing him. It's perception for me. When that person moves away, my perception is gone from me. Isn't it? So perception leaves you, whereas experience remains forever. But sometimes when we speak, all this gets mixed up. I had my experience before, we say like that, isn't it? I experienced my life before. I had this experience before. Sometimes we say like that. But actually, the truth to say is this, that it was not your experience, it was your pratiti. It was, you took it as experience in the illusion, you thought. Because that thing which is always permanently existing inside, through the consciousness what you are, all the time, that's the only reality, anubhavam. Because anubhavam and pratiti are two different things. Pratiti will come and go, anubhavam remains. Anubhavam remains within that. Therefore, Krishna says, if you, with this understanding, if you do, if you deal with the world, even when tension happens, tension is a pratiti. It will come and it will go. If you know that, that there was, before the tension came, you had no tension. When the tension developed inside, after some time, if you are able to separate from that and look at it, you will see that the tension has developed because of your contact with the asat. Asat. Tension is asat. Tension is asat. Why? It comes and goes. You don't get tension and stays in tension all the time, isn't it? Nobody gets that. So far we have not heard about anyone who has been in tension all the time. We get tension and then after some time the tension leaves, isn't it? Then after a few days later, if you think about it, you even wonder why I was stressing out on what I was stressing out unnecessarily about, isn't it? So this is our practical experience in this world. Just like, say for example, we had some close members in the family. They left you. They've gone. Initially, you will feel that separation. Initially, you will feel that separation. See, after a few years, father, mother, all members like that, after a few years, it only stays in the memory. The name and form even slowly goes away. Because, say your example, you have seen your father or mother over a long period of time. Long period of time. When the mother was young, and when the mother became middle-aged, mother became very old, the perception of mother has changed, isn't it? As you keep on moving, the young mother whom you have seen in your as your childhood doesn't exist anymore. You can't even remember how she looked like when she was young. Now you are seeing her in her old age, very advanced in age, struggling with her body and the mind and everything. In that way we are seeing her. So this is all perception. This is all perception. And after death, once he or she, father or mother, goes away, after many years, when you have come to that age of 75 or 80, you won't be able to even remember your mother's true identity at that time. Particularly all the different phases, what that body has gone through. Isn't it? That body has gone through. So, asat is like that. Asat always changes. That is the nature of asat. So, asat is not used in a derogatory way. It's only spoken to make to understand that the difference between sat and asat. Asat is always changing. That is the most important thing. Always changing, that is the nature of asat. Sat never changes. Sat stays as it is. And that's only one sat, that is the soul, Krishna. So, if you understand this, Krishna says that fear will go from inside. Fear will go from inside. Once it so happened that, to give you an example, somebody was reading Srimad Bhagavatam and they kept on reading and he was talking from Bhagavatam. So we reached the seventh canto of Bhagavatam. Seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So there, Lord Narasimha's appearance is there. in the 7th canto, isn't it? So when he was discussing Lord Nrisimha's appearance, it was because in the Bhagavatam it is expressed in a very powerful way, that when you read through the whole background, how Sudeva Goswami explains about Prahlada, was how he was punished, and Prahlada eventually kept on pushing Hiranyakashipu about Narasimha Murthy, about God. He doesn't mention Narasimha Murthy in the beginning, and eventually suddenly Narasimha Murthy appears on the scene and Hiranyakashipu get frightened, isn't it? So what one man did was that he dressed up like Narasimha Murthy. And when this whole thing was discussed about Lord Narasimha's appearance, right at the point when that verse came regarding Narasimha Murthy's appearance, he jumped onto the scene, right in front of all the people who were listening. They were all very carefully listening, absorbed completely in hearing about Lord Narasimha's appearance. Suddenly when Narasimha Murthy's form jumped in front of him, he jumped right in front of the stage, and fully dressed up like Narasimha Murthy, everybody got completely frightened seeing him. And some devotees who felt that Narasimha Murthy disappeared, they paid their obeisances to him. And some others got frightened and pulled back. Different emotions that is created right at that point. But the person who dressed up like Narasimha Murthy, his son was also there in the stage, a 2-year-old son, a boy, who was standing there. He has been watching all this. Father was dressing up like this as Narasimha Murthy, and he was doing this role. So he knew very well that it is his father who it is. So when Narasimha Murthy appeared like this, this boy without any fear goes and sits on his lap, on the father's lap, without any fear. So why? Because he knew that the Sat is the father who is inside. All other, even Narasimha Murthy's form, what appeared to others, it was only dressed up form. For others, Asat became important. For him, the Sat was important, because he knew the Sat. So once you know the Sat, Asat will not disturb you. Asat will not frighten you, once you know the Sat. But once you only know the Asat, it will always frighten us. And that is how this Krishna wants us to see this world. World is nothing but Asat. The whole Jagat is Asat. Heavenly planets are Asat. Hellish planets are Asat. Everything is Asat. And Asat will always create fear, because it's changing. Asat is always changing. That's one important point to mention there. That out of the 5 things, Asti Bhadi Priyam Namam Rupam. Asti Bhadi Priyam means Satta Chitta Anandam. The 3 things. And then Namam and Rupam. These 5 things is creation. Out of this, Nama Rupam is what we are giving importance to, which we should take it away from there, from our vision. Once you take Namam and Rupam away, then you will feel more relaxed about it. Because other 3 things, Asti Bhadi Priyam, Satta Chitta and Anandam, is the characteristics of the soul. Namam and Rupam is characteristics of the matter. Isn't it? So these 5 things together is the whole Jagat, creation. So then if we start separating them out, Asti Bhadi Priyam or Satta Chitta Anandam separately, Namarupam separately, then you are in connected with the soul. Whereas if you are connected with Namam and Rupam, you are connected with matter. With matter. So that is one important thing. Give me an example. Somebody had a lot of jewelry at home. Old jewelry he had. So a young girl was getting married in the house. So the householder decided, I should get new jewelry, modern design. And he goes to the jewelers and gets a lot of modern designed jewelry from there and bring it home. They also had the old jewelry, which was made of the old design at home. So he brought it home before the marriage and kept it in his house, the modern jewelry. And the old jewelry, what he did, he put it in another box in the same shelf and kept it separately. All the modern jewelry, he kept it in one box, and the old jewelry, he kept it in another box. Because he sees that the newer jewelry, what he has purchased, his relatives will come before the marriage, and they like to look at the jewelry, what is being given. This is all usual, isn't it, in the family life, or what goes on. And then, so the jewelry, what was kept at home for the marriage, which he has specifically bought for that purpose, that was there. So then 2 days before the marriage, a thief entered the house. He knew that the house marriage is going to happen, and therefore jewelry is at somewhere stored. So he managed to get into the room and open the shelf. He saw all the new jewelry. Now, what will he do? He will only take the new jewelry, or will he take the old jewelry as well? For him, jewelry is not important. For him, what is important? The gold is important, isn't it? He doesn't care whether it is new or old. What he is looking out for is the gold. Whether it is new jewelry or old jewelry, it doesn't matter to him. But for the householder, he was thinking that new jewelry is important because that's what the fashion is, or what's being worn by the people at that time. So he separates it as old and new. So the truth here is, the gold is the sat here. The jewelry's form in old or modern way is asat. So if you look at it as a jewelry, then you will see the asat. If you look at it as gold, it is sat. The sat is that one which is the true thing, on which you have given these different names as bangles or chain or anklets or belts or whatever different forms the gold has taken. That is name and form, isn't it? You call it by different names under different forms. They are not the real thing. Real thing is the gold in there. That is what is valuable, isn't it? For the thief, that is valuable. For him, name and form is not important. So just like the thief has rejected name and form and accepted the substance, we also have to learn. Jnanis also do exactly the same thing. They reject the name and form and they accept the substance. They accept the substance. What is that? Substance is the soul. They reject all the names and forms and only accept the substance, which is the soul. If you keep on accepting the name and form, what will happen? Ragam and Dvesham will develop. The jnanis are finding ways by which one is able to see Krishna's presence in everything. And in order, so long as we have Ragadvesham, or attachment and aversion to other objects, it is not possible to see Krishna in anything. What will remain is only this Ragadvesham all the way through. So therefore, you will start, Veda Bhavana will come. Veda Bhavana means this Dvaita Buddhi. He is good, he is bad, he is right, he is wrong, he is black, he is white, he is this, he is that. Like this, we keep on creating more and more dualities in our own mind, and the whole life will be nothing but this dual thinking, working on every moment. He is a devotee, he is a demon, and he is he's prime minister, he is something else, whatever the other thing. So, like these designations will keep influencing us. Freeing ourselves from asat is not easy, unless this discrimination develops inside. Freeing ourselves from asat is not easy. Although Krishna spoke in this one verse, Nasade vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sadha bhayorabhi drishtvandas tanayor tatvadarshivi. Tatvadarshi will always be conscious of this thing. Otherwise you can't do it. There is no other way you can free yourself from this dvaita buddhi. So having said that, Krishna's talk about that this is known as saddarshanam. Saddarshanam, seeing the truth. And so here he says here that if you look at somebody's body, that is asat. If you look at somebody's mind, that is also asat, because they are both asat. And if you do that, ragam and dvesham will come inside. Ragam and dvesham will come. So every time you look at asat, you can take it for granted, raga dvesham will develop inside, in some form or the other. You may say that, it doesn't bother me. You may say like that. But subtle level, it does happen. In a subtle level, it does happen. Because conditioning is so strong. Anything, anybody you see in this world, there is immediately some vibrations develop inside. In some form, it will happen. That is because the vasanas, that is how vasanas are created. So, vasana-free consciousness is necessary to free from this asat. To free yourself from the asat. So, how do you create that vasana-free state inside? Vasana-free state develops inside when you start seeing things as they are, isn't it? That when you see asat as asat and sat as sat, this asat bhavam will go from inside. It is a bhavam inside. That's why Krishna calls this as bhavam. Nasade vidyade bhavam, he says. That bhavam is important. In what form you are seeing things. Na bhavo vidyade sada. Isn't it? That's the word it says. So bhavam is like this. If your bhavam is to see asat as sat, that you have to be careful about. Asal bhavam is asat. Sat bhavam is sat. So you have to see the sat as sat and asat as asat. And if you keep on doing this all the time, eventually realize that everything else in this world is asat. The only sat thing is that thing inside. So you will shift automatically your attention. You will shift, or you will focus your attention from asat to sat. And that is how the inward journey starts. The journey inwards starts. Right at this moment, all our attention is on asat. And therefore, we are not able to go inwards and think about, see the truth inside. That is Krishna's presence inside. We are not recognizing that. And till we recognize Krishna's presence inside, it is very difficult to recognize Krishna's presence in others. First, that is why self-realization is important for this reason. If we want to have a vision where, you remember in the Bhagavadam, the first class devotee's quality. Who says this? Kavi Maharshi says this. No, Hari Maharshi says this. Hari Maharshi said, Sarva Bhudeshu Yappashyed Bhagavad Bhavamalmana Bhudani Bhagavad Teshu Savai Bhagavadottama. First class devotee qualifications he is telling us. What is that? Sarva Bhudeshu, in all living entities, Yappashyed, he is seeing what? Bhagavad Bhavam. Krishna's presence in that. And that won't happen unless this happens inside. First, if we don't get realized about ourselves, what we are, where is the question of we getting revealing somebody else as the Krishna's part and parcel, or Krishna's presence in someone else? What possibility is there to realize that? So everything has to start from here, inside us first. So Jnani is knowing this very well. What they do is, they don't allow anything else to get in. They keep away from everything. Everything is asat, they reject that first. First they reject everything. Then they go inwards and find the truth. And then they see that everything else what they have rejected is also the same truth what is inside. You see that? How that happens? The stage development. Initially, they reject everything. Asat, asat, asat. Everything is rejected. They go inwards and they see the sat. After realizing the sat, that it is the same sat that is existing in all the asat, what they initially thought as asat. It is then that their vision of asat goes away from other people and that becomes sat again. It comes back to sat. That is why self-realization is that one which changes our attention, focus on other things. Our vision changes. They didn't change the world, they changed. Did they not? They changed themselves instead of trying to change the rest of the world. Now what happens is we are trying to change all the world, but we haven't changed anything. We are still the same. So that won't help. That won't last also very long, because you change the rest of the world. It's just like Alexander's story, isn't it? Alexander invaded a lot of countries. Kept on invading, invading, invading. And at one point he realized that all that I have invaded, that's all gone. By the time you conquer the next one, the old one what he has invited, somebody has taken away. So this is what's happening now with this thinking. That I keep on trying to change all the world. The more I try to change the world, I notice that after some time it's not staying, it's changing again. That's also changing. So in that process I've forgotten to change myself. And I realized that it was all a waste of time at the end. So one day, material nature will teach us these things. Sometimes in the beginning it won't go in easily. If you tell, especially when one is very fired up for preaching and change the whole world, if you tell him about that, he won't listen. But eventually he will also realize that it didn't help very much. Because all that what he has changed, tried to change, has also changed what he tried to change. And he also has wasted. Krishna will make us understand all these things forcefully one day, when we don't accept it in the beginning. One day or the other, it will come to us, this knowledge, what Krishna is talking about. It will come to us forcefully. So, this story I was talking about, this thief who entered the house, as in the Shastram is an example given like that. So, person who is looking for self-realization, his attention should always be on the gold, not on the forms and the names and the form of the jewelry. Similarly, his attention should be always on the soul, not on all what he is seeing in this world. The word they have used is Kanagaiva Mahabuddhi. Gold's name is Kanagam in the Sanskrit. It is Kanagam. Kanagaiva Mahabuddhi. His buddhi in intelligence is always focused on the gold. Not, it's an example given in the Vedantam to stress this point, that how important it is that we should be so focused on the soul. So, if you see the body, if you see the mind, or if you deal with them, you will always see ragam and dvesham will develop inside. If you see the soul, raga dvesham won't be there. Raga dvesham won't be there. That's why to come to that platform is important. At some stage we will have to come to that, because only then you can deal with the world with ragam and without ragam and dvesham, attachment and aversion. Now all these examples we have given is in relationship with the world, isn't it? In relationship with the world. Example of this elephant in the wood, then the gold, gold pot, clay pot, and the film screen. This is all in relationship with the world outside. Let's go back towards inside us now, how this affects us, right? The sat and asat. We have three bodies, isn't it? You know, we have three bodies. Okay, one body we see, that we don't need any explanation to that, isn't it? Stulam. Stulam is the gross body, what we have. Then we have got two more bodies. What are they? One is the sushmam, sushma shariram, what we call it as the sushma shariram. Sushma shariram is inside us, isn't it? The subtle body as we call it. Then we have a third body called karana shariram, which is called the causal body, karana shariram. And these three bodies, and along with these three, we have three states of existence also, isn't it? Jagrat, sopnam, sushupti. So, jagrat state in connection with the gross body, dream state in connection with the subtle body, and deep sleep in connection with the causal body, to the causal body. So, stulam, sushmam, karanam, three bodies, jagrat, sopnam, sushupti, three states of existence in relationship with the three bodies. Then we have got three kinds of karmam also, isn't it? Prarabdham, agamam, sanjidam, which you may have read in the Bhagavad Gita. I think Prabhupada explains in few places about prarabdha karmam, agama karmam, sanjita karmam. If you are not clear, I may explain that. Prarabdham karmam is a powerful force in us, isn't it? It's a powerful force in us. So this karmam has been divided like these three. Why? Because karmam is stored up inside. Karmam is stored up inside. We have bank account, karma account in there. And in that account, what happens is, a certain part of that karmam is taking a shape, and it has to fructify. It has to fructify. So in order to fructify that karmam, you have to accept a body. You have to accept a body in which that particular part of the karmam package, karma bank, you are pulled out a part of that investment in the karma bank, which you are going to start experiencing now. And that is called this gross body. It is called prarabdha shariram, the body that is born out of prarabdham, this prarabdha shariram. Then we have got two other more, which is called agamam and sanjidam. Sanjidam is one what is stored up. That means it has not come out yet, but it is in your subtle body staying there. Yeah, it is staying in your subtle body. It is waiting for the time to come out. So, sanjita karmam is that what is in storage, but it may manifest later on, not right now. Right now, all your experiences is simply prarabdham. What is happening in this prarabdha shariram is prarabdham, which happens through the body. And Then we have got the third thing, what is called agamam. Agamam is that one which you are creating now for the future. Yeah, the karma what you are doing now, that will stay as karma vasana, but that will not fructify now. It will go into storage. It will go into storage. So that goes into and stays in the karana shariram. So stulam sushmam karanam, jagral swapnam sushupti, prarabdham sanchitam agamam. Those three things are all connected each other in three different levels. So in the when we come to ourselves and we start looking at it, you will see that this karana shariram, all of this is changing. What? Jagra sapnam sushitvi is changing. Stulam sushmam karanam is changing. And similarly, prarabdham agamam sanchitam is also changing. And because of that, all of it is asat. All of this is also asat. This is all asat inside us. When we are talking about ourselves, now what we are doing is, we are trying to dismantle ourselves. This whole thing, what I am calling as I today. That means my body, my mind, intelligence, false ego, and my three different types of bodies. If you keep dismantling them and separating them out, you can see that everything is asat in this, except there is only one thing, that's the soul, what is the sat. Everything else is asat. Why? If you look at each one of them, you will see they are all changing. They are all changing. I'll come to that in detail. Karana Shariram. What is Karana Shariram? You know what Karana Shariram means. Karana Shariram means that is the causal body. What is referred to here? That the whole secret of the life is lying there in this Karana Shariram. How? Say for example, I abused somebody. I shouted at someone, got angry with someone or abused someone. What will happen at that point will that there will be immediately there is some vasana inside created. And that goes and falls into karana shariram. Straight away falls into a karana shariram. Like this, everything what we do during the day, good or bad, right or wrong, whatever it is, it all creates different vasanas inside throughout the day. In the night, when we sleep, the jiva shakti inside, the soul, what it does is, it starts its work. What does it do? All these files what we have sent from here into the storage, he goes there and he sorts it out in a particular order. He does that inside, in the sleep. While we are sleeping, he does this. Krishna's arrangement is such that everything what has been sent in, it should be stored properly, archived, very well inside in the karana shariram, it is archived. It's archived there. It stays there. Then, when we grow up in the childhood, from the last birth, we got a lot of files brought in with us. It's not that we came empty-handed, no. We didn't come empty-handed. If it was empty-handed, it would have been nice. But we come with full of files holding us to our chest, and one after the other we have to pull out the files and start executing through the gross body. It has to be executed, the files have to be utilized. So you know what happens then? Then when we sleep, early days, you remember the baby sleeps for 20-22 hours in a day. What's happening is, the scientists will say, oh, he has to sleep like this for growing the body to grow. That's the science position. The Vedanta's position is, no, that is not the important reason for that. It is during that time, during that sleep, the files are getting moved from the Karana Shariram to Sushma Shariram. Okay. Yeah? All the files get shifted from Karana Shariram to Sushma Shariram during the sleep. Because Karana Shariram can only operate during deep sleep. Only at that time Karana Shariram can function. So all the files which were in the Karana Shariram gets shifted to Sushma Shariram at that point. That is why as you grow up, your Karana Shariram gets weaker and weaker and Sushma Shariram gets stronger and stronger. Yeah? So as you become a youth, in the youthful energy, you have so many much bigger plans and much bigger thoughts and much bigger ideas in your head. That's when you want to change the whole world. And control the world, control others, and bring everyone under your control. All these big ideas comes why? You had these files already there from previous life which you have brought with you. Only thing is, it has started coming out now in its real form. And then from Sushma Shariram, it gets moved into the gross body, the Stula Shariram, and Stula Shariram goes into action straight away. So Stula Shariram gets the control from Sushmam, Sushmam gets the control from Karana Shariram. So Karana Shariram, Sushma Shariram, Stula Shariram, three Shariram's work in this pattern. And they are Sushma Shariram, you know, Stula Shariram, gross body, you know, it's always changing. It doesn't need any explanations. Karana Shariram is also changing when it is moving files like this. From Karana Shariram, it comes down. As you get older, when you get very old, what happens is, your Karana Shariram has practically become zero. There's very little left in the Karana Shariram in older people. And that is the reason when we get old, we don't get sleep. Because of this. You see that old people complaining, oh, I didn't get enough sleep. Shastra is saying to us, there is no need to worry about it. Because nature's arrangement is like that. Old age means there is no need for any sleep. Because there is no Karana Shariram activity going on in that body. It's already over. So that's why as a baby you sleep 20 hours, an old man you require probably 3-4 hours sleep. But this tension inside, I didn't get enough sleep, that causes all the problem. That is why we worry, oh, I didn't get sleep. Then we go into sleeping pills and all other shelter. But in the past there were no sleeping pills. People still lived in this world before sleeping pills were invented, didn't they? So today we have this, doctors are telling us at least you should sleep 8 to 10 hours, otherwise it's bad. And they also tell us old people require more sleep, more rest and all. The opposite things they are telling us. Shastram is telling us, no, if you have become old and if you are not getting sleep, don't worry about it. It's nothing to worry about it. It's only the tension that is worrying you actually. Oh, I didn't sleep. Some illusion in your head, but actually it is not a cause of concern at all. If you're not feeling sleepy, they're saying that don't worry, sit down and chant holy name or read Srimad Bhagavatam or feel peace within yourself that way. And when you feel need to sleep, you sleep. Whenever you feel sleepy, you go to sleep. That's how they understand these things. So, we are discussing about Sushma Shariram. Sushma Shariram is the most powerful one out of the three. You have noticed that the Stula Shariram is dying one day. It will go. The Karana Shariram is existing because of Sushma Shariram. Sushma Shariram gets stronger and stronger once you get older. And because at the old age, the Sushma Shariram is so powerful. Why? Because it is this bag that is going to take you to the next body. Isn't it? This Sushma Shariram. That's why it said, Balastaval Krida Sakta. When you are a boy, your all this interest is in playing. You just want to play. That's your happiness. Tarunastaval Taruni Sakta. When you are a young man, attraction to the opposite sex. That is very strong inside. But what happened to the old age? Vruddhastaval Chinda Sakta. Always thinking. Older people, you will notice this. They're always, that's why they are so serious. Have you seen older people? Very, very serious. They find it very difficult to smile. And whenever you look at that, they will look as though they're very stressed and under severe tension, isn't it? And then people normally avoid older people. The young people go away. They don't want to create any problem with old. And also quickly get angry. That's also a symptom of old age. That you get angry very quickly. So because of that, young people, they tend to avoid old people. They say, oh, he's an old man, I leave him alone, let me not bother him. And they'll tell you, I didn't want to disturb you, that's one. The fact is this, that seriousness in the face, why the seriousness? Vruddhastaval Chinda Sakta is always thinking, what will happen, what's going to happen? This inside. Because Sushma Shariram has grown so big inside. This is what has happened actually. The powerful Sushma Shariram is keeping his, you see, face is the index of the mind. If your Sushma Shariram is big, it will come out in your mind also. You won't be able to smile after, you'll become very serious with that. So, Krishna says here that all these three, they are constantly changing. Stulam, Sushmam, Karanam. So, Sushmam, Karanam is Sushma Shariram, if you look at it, how it changes, we can look at that also. Say, for example, that you got angry with somebody. So you got angry with someone. First, what you'll say, you know, I'm getting angry with you for what you are doing. You will say that. That means, before that emotion comes up, you are recognizing that I am getting angry, isn't it? So that means, if you know that the change in the Sushma Shariram, you are able to detect. This vikaram or this emotion of getting angry is happening in the Sushma Shariram, isn't it? So if you notice that change, what's happening in the Sushma Shariram, you are able to see it yourself, that change is happening in the Sushma Shariram. After a while, when you lose your identity and you identify with the emotion, that's when you really angry is, isn't it? But before you get angry, or before you start hating anyone, or before you feel happy towards anyone, you are conscious that it is happening inside, isn't it? That if you carefully observe, you can notice that. It's not that you suddenly jump into something, but before it happens for a second, if you think, you'll notice that this change is coming, this change is happening in you, that you can observe yourself that what the change is happening. So as soon as you are identifying with that emotion of anger, then you have lost it. Then you have become, and then you cannot control anymore. It has gone out of control. But if at that stage itself, you have identified what the problem is, and you've started thinking, the person who is getting angry, who is this that is very angry? That means you have shifted your attention from anger to another person, to your own individual soul, to your own identity, Swarupam. Your Shraddha or attention, you have shifted from the object with whom you are getting angry to your original identity as a spirit soul. That is where that question has to come, who is getting angry? So every emotion, if you handle it in this way, you can escape from that emotion. When you get happy also, if you think who is getting happy, the attention is shifted from the identification with the emotion to the self inside, to the Sat. Emotion was Asat. But if you shift your attention to the Sat inside, immediately that emotion disappears. You come to a balanced state again. See, this is an important thing. Why? Because the psychologists have one way of dealing with this. If you approach a psychologist, they'll tell you in one way. For example, once some emotions has built up inside, very powerful emotions, anger towards someone. I'm very angry with someone, and if I identified with that anger, what will happen? If I release that anger towards him, that person will get disturbed, isn't it? On whom you have released your anger. That person will get disturbed. Your anger, what you have released. That is one way of solving the problem. It has gone from you to somebody else, but you disturbed that person so much, although you have released it from your side. That is not obviously not the right solution. The second solution is, by your willpower, you control that emotion. You control that emotion. In which case, what will happen is, that will go inwards and will destroy inside. Isn't it? For example, you can see sometimes people, when they get very angry, but they have managed to control themselves, and if you give them prasadam, they take prasadam, they'll get upset. Stomach will get upset. Why? Because they have eaten the prasadam, because inside it's all poison. the effect of that anger inside, they got angry with someone and that anger hasn't gone away. So the result of that is that has poisoned inside. Instead of poisoning outside, poisoned inside. So both of them is wrong. Both of them is wrong. To release it on someone is wrong. To withdraw it inwards is also wrong. The Vedanta philosophy is telling us, whenever any powerful emotion happens, if you discriminate it as Sat and Asat, which is an Asat which has come out, and immediately ask the question, for whom this is happening, this anger is happening, and shift your attention from anger towards the soul, if you get time to do all these things I'm saying, and if you have controlled your mind in that way, developed that understanding in life, it has to be there, first of all, the understanding should be there. Only then you can try something, isn't it? When there is no understanding, what can you try? But the understanding is like this, that shift your attention when the anger comes towards the soul. In that case, This anger, where it has originated, it will go and dissolve itself. It cannot destroy you. It cannot destroy you and disturb anybody else. So that is the true nature. All the great Mahatmas, they have done this in their life. And that is how they came out of the control of the mind. Because if you allow the mind to control everything, that it will come back. It will come back. And this Sushma Shariram, what is inside while we are dying, that comes as the Karana Shariram in the next life. When it comes as Karana Shariram. Sushma Shariram comes through the Karana Shariram files again in the next life, and then the whole process starts again one after the other. So, you have seen now that Stula Shariram is changing all the time. Isn't it? Stula Shariram is changing. Sushma Shariram is also changing. Karana Shariram is also changing. So, the three bodies what I have got is always changing. The three states I am always changing, isn't it? Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti. The three states of existence is also changing. Then, the three kinds of karma what I have created, which is Prarabdham, Agamam, Sanjidam, they are also changing. Because you keep on using the Prarabdham, and you keep on taking it from the Sanchidam, so Sanchidam bag is getting emptied, Prarabdha Karmam, it gets used up, and Agamam, you can avoid it if you don't create any more karma. If you don't create any more karma. But in order to do that, this understanding of Sat and Asat is necessary inside. Then it won't create Agamam. It won't create agama karmam. Even while executing the karmam, fully realizing that this is not the truth if you execute something. For example, when you are doing some work, if you do it with kartrutva buddhi, I am the doer, and if you get completely identified with the karmam and do it, you will feel very tired afterwards. Isn't it? Whereas if you are able to do that same activity without identification with it, you will feel more relaxed about it. That is also you can experience in this world. How much you identify with each is what matters. More the identification, the more the stress that comes from that. And more involvement, in other words. People tell you, oh, you should be very focused, isn't it? They tell you like that. But actually, it's dangerous, this focusing business. The whole focusing, the more you focus, the more you are in trouble. That. The more you are withdrawn, the safer you are. You have to do the work, not that nobody is saying that you should not do. But the more focusing means more identification with the, that's what they are telling you to do. And if you know the science of these three bodies functioning within us, like Shastram is telling us, and how their activities are affecting us, then naturally you will give more attention to the reality, which is the Sat inside, rather than to the Asat aspect of it. The Asat is all these bodies, three bodies, gross, subtle and causal bodies. They are not Sat, they are all Asat. So, when what you have seen in the world outside, and you have noticed how to discriminate between Sat and Asat, inside us also, if we don't develop this thinking of Sat and Asat, we will have problems. We will have problems. So, only to take us from Asat to Sat. Krishna has spoken about this in this verse. Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sadha, upayorabhi drishtoandam stanayor tattva darshibhi. Krishna explained that in that way. So we're talking about that, I mentioned about this, that the tendency in us to generate the growth, generate this subtle body, to make it bigger, is very, very strong. And because this subtle body is growing, we dream more. Human species dreams. If you look at animals and all, they never seems to dream anything. They either sleep or they are looking for the food. There's only two things they do. They don't seem to have any dream world. They don't create much of a dream world. It is in the human species. The more we dream, it shows, the more you are dreaming, it means the bigger is your subtle body. The subtle body has grown very big. That's why a lot of dreams happen. So if you want to stop dreaming, or if you want to control dreams, the best thing to do is not to allow the subtle body to grow. Subtle body's activity is dream. Subtle body's activity is dream, isn't it? And that is centered around the mind. So when the mind gets continuously chittavritti, constant thoughts coming through all the time, it only means one thing, that your dream world is expanding. The dream world is expanding. That is what Krishna says here, that our main business is only dreaming. The human species. You can also notice this in the jnanis, how they handle this situation. Jnanis knows very well that you should not allow this subtle body to grow. And all our problems are also coming from this subtle body. Subtle body is making us fearful, making us anger. All emotions are all within the subtle body, isn't it? So if you go and visit some jnanis, realized souls, normally they will not deal with your subtle body. They will not deal with your subtle body. They will only deal with your gross body, either with the gross body, or they will take you to the higher level of knowledge. Only two things they will discuss. When you go to visit them, some Mahatmas, what they do, first thing is, they will ask you, have you had prasadam first? And give you some prasadam to have, so that your gross body is satisfied. Bring gross body into peace. For example, when you travel sometimes long distances, you get to some place, first thing is you want some food to eat. You are exhausted. You want some food to get some energy back, isn't it? So many places you can see where people, advanced, spiritually advanced people, they live. You go and visit them, they will ask you these things if you get to see them, that have you had something to eat? Have you had prasadam? And they will make sure that you had something to eat so that your gross body is satisfied. They will inquire about your bodily problems. What problems have you got with your body? Are you feeling pain? Or how is your health, general health? All these things they will inquire from you. They won't anything inquire about your subtle body. You start telling them all your problems inside, they won't hear at all. They don't want to hear. Why? Because the subtle body you have created, and it is that what you are suffering from. So the only solution to the problem is you have to bring down your subtle body size. Bring it down. That's the only way they think that the solution to the problem is. Because you are going to them with your problems in your subtle body, isn't it? And you are telling them that this has happened in my life, that has happened in life, why so many problems happened in the family, so many happened in the workplace, so things happened in this, that. All these problems they come and tell you. Now, you have accepted all these things inside. You didn't know where to leave it. And that's why these problems have grown up inside and your subtle body has grown. And you are suffering from that. For which he is saying, that Jnani is saying, I have no solution to offer except this one thing, that you have not followed the Shastram. Shastram is telling you not to allow anything to get in, whether it is at workplace or whether it's at home or whether it's elsewhere. Nowhere you should allow anything to get inward, inside, and disturb your peace inside. So for a jnani, shanti is important inside. And he does not find any meaning in trying to deal with your subtle body. Doesn't find any meaning. So for example, someone says to you that I have got this problem with my colleague at work and he's giving me hell. What should I do with him? All this kind of situation develops in life, isn't it? Sometimes at workplace, you may find someone who is very awkward. Awkward in the sense that he has got his own nature, and you are finding it difficult to adjust with his nature. So you get a boss who is very demanding, who expects you to stay till 10 o'clock at night and work there for you're working. He doesn't know, you also don't know. You get all sorts of people at workplace like that, isn't it? Very funny characters, some of them. And because there is no spiritual understanding of life, some of them are so committed to work, and they expect everybody else also to do the same thing for the company. And they will justify that, saying that, oh, company's business is not going very well. And or they'll tell you that if the turnover doesn't happen, there will be redundancies. This way they will start frightening you all the time, isn't it? So when all these things happen, what happens? It has an impact on you as well, because you are working with this person whole day. And when he starts threatening you like this, about redundancies, about job losing the jobs, what's going to the company, as though it all matters in your life very much. You have gone there only to get some money to earn. You are not worried what will happen to the company. So many companies have come here and so many companies have gone from this world. If you start worrying about all that, that's all asat. That's what I'm saying. It's all asat. So when the boss tells you that this is what he's explaining, you think this asat is talking nonsense. So you have to keep that all the time firm inside, that asat is acting in its own way and sat has to prevail over this. So this one point, that the the changing nature I was talking about, the sushma shariram and its form in this way is constantly attacking us. And Mahatmas, I was mentioning, that you go to Mahatma and tell him, I have this problem with my boss in the office, he is giving me trouble like this. What Mahatma can do? You have created the situation because you have not followed the Shastram. Shastram is telling you, you should know very well that from your position you have to do your work, what you have to do. So a certain number of hours, what you've agreed. And to some extent, sometimes some flexibility you can show. Not that you're completely indifferent to the situation. But sometimes somebody's greed, you can't fulfill that. Impossible. That somebody becomes so greedy. Sometimes some of these bosses, in their desire to grow up in the ladder, they are willing to exploit anyone to any extent. Because he is so blind and so ignorant that he will go and do anything what he needs to do. And for him, all these things doesn't matter. Whether you go home, whether you eat on time, whether you sleep on time. All he's concerned about is whether you're working like an asshole day and night. That's all what he matters for. So when it is like that, Shastram only can help you. And not even the Mahatmas will tell you that subtle body I don't want to deal with. That's all your creation. You're not taking the understanding from the Shastram properly and your life. You are thinking that you can't live in this world without that and feeling misery out of that. From Shastram, the understanding is life, you will live in this world according to Prarabdham, you will get what you are meant to get. And what you are not going to get, you are not going to get it under any circumstance. This is the principle. And if you look at it that way, Prahlad Maharaj also says the same thing. Prahlad is also saying that what you are, happiness and distress will come. And that will come according to your karma. And if it is meant to come, it will come. And if it cannot be avoided, if it is meant to happen. If it is not meant to happen, no matter what you do, it will not happen. That's also there. So, while dealing with situations like that, it's important, Krishna says here, that this sat and asat is also comes into play there. That the knowledge that is important, Krishna says here, is that the soul, is the soul. All these three is not sat. Which one? Stula shariram, sushma shariram and karana shariram. All three of them is not sat. That the only sat is, that's me. That is me. That why? Because all the three other three has no existence. Then, now why Krishna is saying this is, Krishna is bringing Arjuna to a particular point by saying all these things. So for example, if I cut my hand off and throw it away, Kai is asat. The hand is asat at that time, isn't it? The hand is asat. The hand is sat when it is connected with the sat inside. You cut it off and throw it away, it has become asat. The hand has become asat. So from this you can see, only when it comes in contact with sat, asat gets some importance. If you cut it off, the only thing you can do that either you can burn it like a body, dead body, and finish with it. Sometimes you go, a hand come off, cut off in through a machine while working on a machine or something. The hand comes off, and then somebody takes the hand, piece of hand, and goes to the doctor. Can we do anything about it? The doctor will say, I can stitch it up with the body. Whether it will get the complete consciousness like before or not, I can't guarantee that. They will say like that. That depends. And it has happened in many instances like that. They will say that after the operation, after they have stitched up the hand, which was separated from the body before, they sometimes don't get that full consciousness like they had before. This is because the sat has withdrawn from that, and they may not feel that presence of the sat in the hand. So sat and asat is dependent on that. So Krishna says here, the hand is asat, I am sat. then you will also notice that this existence, once you are separated from the body, is not there for the hand. Now the hand can say, I exist, isn't it? Because the presence in the sat. But the moment it's separated, it's not different from the mic. Mic doesn't say, I exist. Hand also will not be able to say, I exist. So this thing called existence goes away as soon as you separate from the sat inside. So Krishna says here that you have, say for example, your leg cut off, you have an artificial leg attached to it, isn't it? Sometimes people walk with artificial legs, like soldiers after they lost their leg or hands from the battlefield, they come back and then the hospitals provide them an artificial leg. It so happens that this understanding, the artificial leg is there, sometimes they are not conscious of, because consciousness is not spread there, isn't it? Once a man was sitting there and he was reading a newspaper, and he had amputated his leg, and his leg was not there. And suddenly when the phone rang, he was new to it, he thought that, oh, I have to take the phone, and he went to take the phone. In that process he tripped and fell, because he was forgotten that his leg wasn't there. You see? So, even if the leg was taken out from the body, still the consciousness, I am there, has not reduced even a little bit. I am still complete within myself. But part of my body has gone, and I have forgotten that this part has gone away from me. And for that particular moment when this thought of taking the phone call became stronger inside, this old memory of the part of the leg has gone, has vanished from him. So he got up and when running to the phone, in that process he tripped and fell. Only then he realized, oh, I didn't have this leg has gone away from there. To such an extent, we can feel that separation from the body and us, the real self. You can feel that within ourselves. Krishna is saying here. So now Krishna says to Arjuna, as I have spoken to all these things only for one reason, that Krishna is saying to Arjuna, your body is also like that. The body is also like that. The body also has no real existence, to be truthful about it. It is also no real, it is also asat, in other words. Then even though it exists now, take it for granted, Arjuna, that actually it has no real existence. Even though it exists now, in reality it has no existence. Because Arjuna's mood at this point in the battlefield was, he was concerned about destroying the body of Bhishma, Drona, others, everybody there, isn't it? He was struggling to get that strength to fight this battle. But because Krishna is transcendental, Krishna is seeing Sat and Asat very clearly inside, and Arjuna was only seeing the Asat and not the Sat, Krishna has to tell him that the thing what you are seeing is Asat now, what you are seeing as Sat now, is in reality is Asat. That is the point Krishna is getting through that verse. Nasade vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sada ubhayoravi drishtvandam stanayor tattva darshivi. Krishna is hammering this point that tattva darshis, who have seen the truth, they will see the sat and not the asat. What you are seeing now is nothing but asat. Same thing in Vedantam, importance is given to the person who is seeing, not what you are seeing. Normally we give importance to what you are seeing, isn't it? Generally our tendency is like that. Oh, I've seen this, I've heard this, I've witnessed that, and all this thing. Police also ask for your witness if you have seen an accident, all this. So what you have seen is what is important in the world outside. Drishyam. Drishyam it's called. But in Vedantam, who is seeing? That's the question. Drikka is important. Who is seeing? Because if the person who is seeing is not there, what you are seeing doesn't exist. Isn't it? So the importance is given to drik, not to the drishyam. Drishyam is what you see. Drik is who is seeing. So who is seeing is important, and not what you have seen is important. Drik is important, drishyam is not important. Sat is important, asat is not important. Soul is important, body is not important. From that point of view. Now, these are things understanding has to develop within. Inside us, we have to develop this understanding clearly. Because Krishna's words, if we accept, means we accept all this understanding. Otherwise, simply reciting these words is not good enough. That verses are only there because it conveys certain powerful meanings. And how it has affected Arjuna. How Arjuna was able to take the weapon and fight. And we also have to fight in this world, our battle with the world outside. And this Bhagavad Gita has been spoken with that intention. Not that we will all go to Kurukshetram and fight there with Arjuna. That's not why Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Bhagavad Gita was spoken for us who also have to fight a battle in this world. But Krishna is saying, with all this understanding, if you fight this battle, you will come out of it without any scratch. You will come out of it without disturbed over anything. Whereas if you accept all the asat things as sat and fight this battle, you will suffer heavily and at the end you will be the loser. You will be the loser. There is no doubt about that. That's why knowledge is the one which should be driving the life, not anything else. So even from a practical point of view, practical life in this world, you can see how important Bhagavad Gita is. If Bhagavad Gita's understanding is correct inside, we will not get misled. We will do the right things in the right time. And even if something goes wrong, whichever way it goes wrong, if from our perception, it is not gone wrong because you have acted properly. That's more important. Whether you have, whether the results have come according to desire or not, that is not the important thing. Whether you have acted properly in the world, that is more important. And Bhagavad Gita gives us that understanding how to act properly in the world. And that activity should be based on this principle, Sat and Asat. Everything, that unchanging truth is the Sat, and that is the only truth. Everything that is changing in this world, which is going through all kinds of changes, including my own three kinds of bodies, all the family, friends, they are all Asat. If that is firmly established inside, there is no possibility of getting confused over anything. There is no need for confusion over anything. Temporarily, when you fall from spiritual consciousness to material consciousness, you will feel a little disturbed in your dealings with the world. Now, we are speaking all these things here, and you are also feeling that it is probably the truth, what we are discussing here. But as soon as you leave the room and go out and start driving the car, the whole another world influences you straight away. This goes away, isn't it? But if the knowledge is inside, at least you can go back and reflect on it and withdraw the mind from where it has fallen into. When you fall from spiritual consciousness to material consciousness, this is what happens. We fall straight away. And one who has no spiritual consciousness, completely acting on material consciousness, he gets suffered a lot more than one who has fallen from spiritual life. He tends to suffer more. So, Asat has no bhavam. That is what Krishna is saying here. It will come, it will stay for some time, and it will go. My mind, my body, my intelligence, they are all asat. If you know that, your attachment to these things, for mind, intelligence and body, will also go. Because you know it is asat. What's the point in thinking about my great intelligence? I think about it all the time. What's the point? It will also go one day. And then what's the point in getting attached to it? So, this beautiful body I'm trying to maintain, I lose it one day. What's the point in getting attached to it? Krishna is saying there. But you can also notice that if I wasn't there, the body doesn't exist. Means, if the soul isn't there, the consciousness is not there, the body doesn't exist. So, they're all dependent on me, my this thing called soul inside, the consciousness inside. Existence cannot become non-existence. That is the point Krishna is making there. What exists will always exist. In other words, what has got real existence, it has existence throughout. It cannot become non-existent. Krishna has mentioned that, isn't it? So, with the body, Krishna is saying, Arjuna, it's a long dream, that's all. It is not a temporary dream, it's a long dream. In the night you see dreams, but that's temporary. But this body, as far as Krishna is concerned, is a long dream that exists for a longer period of time. After that, the body will go on its own. So, if this understanding is strong inside, why lament about this body? That's what question Krishna is asking to Arjuna. So, when we hear all these things, we should also not become completely a... fanatic, in other words. A fanatic. Fanatic is one who takes something in an unreasonable way. This is knowledge. Knowledge should work from inside. But while in the material body, you also have to look after the material body. Not that you have to reject the material body. Totally, if you reject material body, also causes problems. But knowing well what its utility is, you should handle it. Mm-hmm. Knowing well the utility of the material body, you should handle it in that way. Whether it will work or not, that is not in your hands. That is in material nature's hands. Your prarabdham, how it's going to work, how the material nature will react, that we don't know anything. That is why this medical science will never become perfect. You can take it for granted. Why? This third influence called prarabdham is there. Medical doesn't take into account all that, isn't it? They keep on researching, developing, and making sometimes some statements that we will one day make everybody live eternally, and they've got this. Here and there they're getting some success, little bit, DNA and RNA. They are also now started acknowledging that through this DNA and all that, they are saying that this karma vasanas in a person can become a criminal, make a person criminal. And what is this criminality? Is this karma vasana is talking about? So, they started using this DNA and all that, now identifying the thieves and all kinds of things, they do that, isn't it? That's not interesting for us, because Bhagavad Gita is speaking on a much higher level. They are not talking in terms of the body and existence and the body in this world. They are using it for the wrong purpose. They are not thinking in the right direction, where they should be thinking about. So, medical science will keep on talking, finding little success here, little success there. And they'll also tell us that one day we will be able to stop this death. Some doctors even have spoken like this in the past, if our research progresses, because this stem cell technology, what they are developing, and all this is the intention behind it, motive behind it is, can we maintain this body forever without losing this body? That is the goal behind it, isn't it? How to stop death. And that is why big foundations and big research institutions get money in this world. They are able to get money. Government is willing to provide them funds. Because I don't think we have to spend so much money on research to live in this world, the way amount of money that's being spent today. This cancer research, that research, diabetics research, and TB research, and all psychological problems research. Research-wise, every day postman brings you one small pen and a paper for donation for this project or that project, isn't it? When you look at all these things, you start wondering that is this so much research needed in this world? What are we searching for? We are searching for only one wrong thing. What is that? To keep this body going, isn't it? So the foolishness behind it. That's why Krishna is saying, cut out of this foolishness from your head. Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. If you have understood this, all this research will come to a dead stop. A lot of people lose their jobs and world will be different. That's what will happen. So you can see how deep this ignorance has permeated in our life in this world. Just because we didn't accept this great statement from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Our intelligent acharyas, they had no difficulty. That is why Vedic philosophy, under all circumstances, will come on top. It will never be able to be beaten by anything else. It can always tell you that you are in the wrong route. You are in the wrong route. Till you come and accept the understanding what Bhagavad Gita is giving us. Why is Bhagavad Gita respected so much? Because when crisis develops inside, you keep on trying to do something in this world, eventually at the old age you find everything was a waste of time. Yeah? When you realize that, then you start taking Bhagavad Gita and start reading. At that point they are saying, oh, Bhagavad Gita is a fantastic literature. Oh, it has got real knowledge. Then Einstein says, Thoreau says, all big men are saying this at the old age when everything is over. There is no point in talking about it at the old age. Why don't we accept right from day one when Krishna is saying this truth very bluntly to us, Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. If you have accepted that existence, what has got existence? Existence cannot be made non-existence. One has got something has got existence, cannot be made non-existent. And what has got a non-existent by nature, you cannot make completely non-existent. This is the fundamental principle of life. It's a fundamental principle of life. So therefore, material body is a non-existent thing. It's a non-existent thing. Krishna is saying to us, it's non-existent. It is manifesting in front of us for some time, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, whatever it is. After that, its existence is over. We know that very well. And you are spending all this money on research to to make this existent. So all this big, what's that, the drug manufacturers, isn't it, Glaxo and Bayer, Hearst, all big drug manufacturers, big companies, trillions of pounds and dollars they are spending on research work to find a solution to, that keeps them going and keeps a lot of people going in this world. But intelligence is not that. Intelligence is what Krishna is saying to us. This is what spiritual life means. Bhagavad Gita's knowledge is supreme, stays above everything else because of this. That nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayora vidrishtvandam sthanayor tatudarshivi. Tatudarshi has recognized it, accepted it, and lived on that principle. And therefore, they never experienced this distress in their life. That. So, Krishna says here that if you do like that, he says, you will not feel distress. If you accept this. If you accept this, there will not be distress. Ajnani, or ignorant person, he only sees the form of something. He sees only the form of a person. Then, if you give importance to that, if you give importance to the form and to the name, then you will not see that the soul inside a person. The soul inside a person will not be seen. Once it so happened that a man, he wanted to meditate on the form of the Lord, on the form of the Lord. So he went to one Mahatma and asked the Mahatma, which form should I meditate? So the Mahatma told him, he was asking in terms of any forms in this world. Mahatma told him, think about that form what you had 10 months before you entered into the womb of the mother. What was your form? He asked that question to him. In other words, said that you can't even imagine, isn't it? What was my form before I entered into the womb of the mother? Actually, what he was referring to was, that's the soul. That's what we should be thinking about. So, imagination of some form is always very, in order to imagine something or bhavana inside, I have to be existent first thing. So first thing, identification with the self is more important. The jnanis, they do not give importance to the form at any time. They always sit without giving any importance to the form. When they see any particular living entity in this world, they don't look at his body. Rather, they see the presence of Krishna inside. This is the nature of the realized soul. Those who are not realized, they will always give importance to the externals. Those will give importance to the externals. And this vision is not clear, then what will happen? You will start thinking, give importance to name and form. Then you will start thinking, oh, you have to preach to the Prime Minister and President and make them devotees. Why? Because you are seeing that form outside. Prime Minister has got soul, and ordinary person on the street also has got soul. They are not different. So one and the same thing in both. He is in that body, he is in another body. This person is another body. And both are asat. Whether it's Prime Minister's body or in this body, both are asat. Shastram is telling the knowledge of spiritual knowledge is from soul to soul, not from body to body. Not from body to body. When we have no knowledge, we think all this is important. What is that? Developing the contacts in the higher level, breaking them all as our followers, and bring them under our, getting them initiated in our tradition, parampara. All this becomes important for us. Why? Because our own illusion inside. We are only seeing the asat. We are not seeing any sat in anything. Once it so happened, there was one person. Sheshadri was his name. A realized soul. He used to wander around in one of the temple towns. And he had reached that state where he is perceiving, not only he realized, also that realization other living entities was there in him. So it was then that one person knew about him and he went up to him and asked him for initiation from him. He wanted to get some spiritual instructions. When I say initiation, I don't mean the ceremony. I'm talking about the spiritual instructions from him. So he looked at him, this Sheshadri looked at him, and told, there was a buffalo standing next to that. He says to him, "What's that?" he said. So he says, "Swamiji, it's a buffalo," he says. Again he asked, "What is it?" he said. He says, "It's a buffalo, Swamiji." He says to him, "You are the buffalo." He says, "Not that, you are the buffalo. Buffalo doesn't know that it's a buffalo." You know what a buffalo is, isn't it? Yeah. Buffalo doesn't know it's a buffalo. But you are, in your mind, you created this form as buffalo. In your mind. That means you have not come to any stage in spiritual realization. It's no point in giving you any initiation, he said. You just go. He left him out. That's what I'm saying. That without spiritual understanding, taking instructions from a guru properly is also no use. It doesn't help. Because spiritual realization must develop inside. At that particular moment, that when an initiation from a higher person who is situated on a higher platform, he can guide you on to the point that make it perfect, what you have understood before. In order to make it, perfection happens at that point. Now, when this has happened, that Seshadri spoke like this to that person, he understood that it is something he has to grow himself. Because if you look at it this way, that when you see this buffalo, that name, we name it as buffalo, and we gave this form of buffalo based on that, isn't it? But buffalo alone, on its own, is not thinking like that. I am a buffalo, I am suffering because I am a buffalo. Buffalo is not thinking like that. Buffalo is thinking that I am this, what I am. And it's moving around in this world in that way, isn't it? So, name and form is not disturbing that, but it is disturbing us. We are in that situation. So similarly, there is a story in the Vasudeva Mananam. It's a beautiful story. There's a book called Vasudeva Mananam. And in that book, it says like this. Jnanis refer to all these things seriously. What it says there, one householder, he took sannyas. Householder took sannyas. And then, after taking sannyasam, he was asking his spiritual master that the spiritual master instructed him to perform some meditation. But every time he was performing meditation, he was finding very, very difficult. Very difficult. There was something coming in his meditations and not allowing the form what the spiritual master told him to meditate upon. Yeah. Before he took sannyas, his wife died. Children have all left, gone and home and went away. He was living alone for some time. And he used to have a cow with him, and he used to look after this cow very well, and he was very attached to this cow. And sometimes it happens in the villages, people, you will observe sometimes people living alone, and they will be maintaining some cows or goats or something like that, and they look after them very well. They look after them very well, and that becomes their life. Practically that's their main engagement in life. So he was very fond of this cow. But at some point he realized he has to take sannyasam and move away from home. He decided to do that. So that time he sold this cow. When he took sannyas, he sold this cow and went and took sannyasam. But even after taking sannyasam, his wife has left long ago. Children also left home and went away. So he was alone with this cow for a long period of time. So the attachment to the cow was very strong inside. So every time he sat for meditation, what used to happen was this cow will come in the meditation. Where this cow will come in the meditation. It happens to all of us. Some different vasanas, what we have strongly created in us, will come and introduce itself in our meditations. Even while chanting, this is what happens, isn't it? Something has happened at office, very disturbing to you, or something, some confrontation with someone. It will be highly impossible that you'll be able to chant your rounds without thinking about it. It's normal, isn't it? Anybody can. I don't think we have become that transcendental that I can leave everything there. So the whole time when you are chanting, it's coming through your mind, isn't it? So what is the solution? This is more important, isn't it? What is the solution? The solution is this. Then the Shastram is pointing out to us that this sannyasi was instructed like this by his spiritual master. He says to him that, all right, if you find it difficult to get rid of that cow from inside, think of that cow as Krishna. Supreme Lord, and start on that cow, impose this. You impose Krishna as the cow, and start meditate on that form of cow. Meditating form of cow as Krishna. If you keep on meditating that, this asakti means this attachment, created with that cow in your heart, in due course of time, that will fall apart. And you will start seeing Krishna in that cow, rather than as cow. And that is the only way you can escape from that situation. So every time when we have something, some object, which is penetrating very strongly into the heart, give that object on with the stamp of Krishna on that. And if that way, if you see that object as Krishna's presence in him, and if ever it has to go into meditation, see him through Krishna, as Krishna's part and parcel. In that way, if you meditated on that form, in due course of time, that form will disappear, and you will only see Krishna then. So this is the way to escape. All the Mahatmas have done this throughout their life. There is no doubt about that. That is how they were able to withdraw themselves from this world. Otherwise it is impossible to withdraw from this world. Krishna is saying there, Ragadvesham. To give you an example, you know Krishna has an appearance as a boar. Boar incarnation, isn't it? Malsyam Kurmam Varaha, Varaha incarnation. There are many, many temples built for boar. Varaham form. Varaha form. Now, Varaham or a boar is an animal, isn't it? And when you see them on the street eating all the garbage and enjoying its life in the drain and drainage and all, you feel disgust with that, isn't it? You feel disgust with that animal when you see the, when you notice that all the time they'll be enjoying their life there. So, when you see that, you feel a kind of a disgust towards the animal. It's the same form that is in the temple in the form of Varahamurti, standing there. When you go there, what do? You pay your obeisances to the same boar, what is inside in that form. The form is the same. What has changed? What has changed is, your bhavana in here is different than the bhavana there. There, your bhavana was purely as an animal enjoying the dirt and the filth there. Here, your bhavana is Varahamurti is Krishna. So you are paying obeisances. All the food that is offered to Varahamurti, you are taking it as prasadam. You are asking for mercy from the deity. So there Varaham, and you are glorifying Varaham through all your prayers. Krishna's appearance in that form. So form has only temporary existence. Form is not everything. But through that form, what you are seeing is Krishna. Isn't it? When your meditation on that form increases, your understanding is, it is Krishna who is present there in that Varahamurti. Varaha form is Krishna's form. Whereas Krishna's form you are worshipping. You are accepting that Krishna is present in every living entity. Krishna is present in front of me in this form. So after some time, after worshipping Varaha form for a long period of time, when your realization becomes complete, you see, realize that this was only a form what Krishna has taken, but Krishna is something different than that form what I have seen there. Isn't it? That understanding will come. So, this process of getting out of this name and form has to continuously go on within. Not allow the name and form to take control of us. Rather, we have to learn the art of how to see the name and form in other living entities and take away from our inside that name and form. That is what Krishna is saying here. That the Varahamurti, we pay our obeisances with that understanding. That whenever any form comes inside, we have to take it, Krishna has come in that form. If you take it like that, Krishna says, problems will be solved. In due course of time, all our hate relationship, loving relationship, ragam and dvesham won't develop inside. Attachment and aversion won't develop inside. It is on this principle only, if you notice, that in the Shastram there is talk about Matra Devo Bhava, Pitra Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Adhiri Devo Bhava. Respect your mother as Supreme Lord's manifestation. Why? By simply cultivating that bhavana inside, you are elevating yourself. You are elevating yourself. Because for a child, whom does he see first? The father, mother, and the teacher and the guests who come in the house. If you see all of them as Supreme Lord's Supreme Lord's presence in them. And by chanting this mantra, what we are actually doing is, Matru Devo Bhava means, you are seeing in that person, mother, as a mother. Aditi Devo Bhava, a guest also, Krishna is present there, as in the guest. So simply by creating this bhavam inside, this asat form will go away. Otherwise, if you simply see the body of mother as a body, father as the body, and you will not feel that respect towards them, if you start looking them at them through the body. So for early days itself, this training is given to the children in spiritual life, that they look at every person from a higher position, that start seeing them as the presence of Krishna in there. Simply by chanting this mantra of Aditi Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo, this is all in the Upanishad statements. Only for this reason it has been spoken. It has been spoken like that. So Krishna is saying at the last end of that, that the the goal is, if you do that, he says, the family life also will not suffer. That each other mutually, if we develop this understanding, that in seeing in everything Krishna's presence and start dealing with that object, this kind of situation can help. That the only thing not to forget about this, not to forget this to happen, is where satsangam helps. Satsangam helps this to understand this thing very strongly inside. That how to transform all asat into sat. Although that's all asat, by our changing our vision, then asat is transformed to sat. Then, otherwise, if we develop love and hate towards each other, that what will happen is that that will create a disturbance inside us. Then, in order that the thought about the soul to develop inside, Brahma Vicharam it's called, this movement of the mind must stop at some point. So that is the practical side what Krishna is talking about. So we have a lot more to say about that verse, because that verse is a very important verse, which we'll do tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Yeah.